As infants, we perceive the world without filters. Learning our first language, we form categories of sounds, aiding understanding but losing the ability to hear sounds we don't need. As adults learning a second language, we need to regain this ability. But how? Hello and welcome to the Hacking Chinese podcast. In this week's episode, we are going to talk about learning how to hear new sounds and tones as an adult. This is a topic dear to my heart, as I've spent hundreds of hours researching this question, and there might be follow-up articles and episodes about more specific things related to how to learn to hear new sounds. In this week's episode, I'm going to go through two methods that have been proven to work, meaning that you can rely on them to learn to hear sounds that you couldn't previously hear, or make distinctions between sounds that you were previously unable to make. Before we get to that though, I'd like to announce that my pronunciation course, Hacking Chinese Pronunciation, Speaking with Confidence, is now open for registration. You can learn more about the course, including several previews, at pronunciation.hackingchinese.com. The course is aimed at learners on all levels, so if you're a beginner, this will give you a solid foundation and more material to work with later when you want to improve your pronunciation even further. If you're already an intermediate or advanced student, there are probably still things you have missed or kinks you need to iron out or maybe just polish your accent, and the course will help you do that as well. There is also an option to get feedback from me, and if you're a beginner, this means that as you work your way through the course, I will help verify that you're actually learning things correctly. If you're an intermediate or advanced student, it means that I will first make a comprehensive check and see how you're doing, so you know what to prioritize and focus on first when trying to improve your pronunciation. This time around, the pronunciation course will stay open for registration indefinitely, so there is no deadline. I have found a good workflow that allows me to give feedback and update the course and so on, and based on feedback from students, I'm rather confident that the course quality is good and that no major updates are needed. However, as everybody knows, prices have gone up quite a lot recently, and that includes costs for running Hacking Chinese, including the free articles and this podcast, and so I've also decided to increase the prices for the pronunciation course. But I won't do that until after next Tuesday, that's May 28th, so if you want to get the current lower price, please make sure to get the course before then. I should also say that it doesn't matter when you get the course. If you enroll now, you can start studying the course this autumn or next year, it doesn't really matter, it will be there when you need it. And if you enroll with feedback, there is no deadline before which you have to get your feedback or it will be forfeited. You can do it whenever you want, including a year or two from now. So make sure to get the course before the end of next Tuesday. With that out of the way, let's talk about learning to hear new sounds and tones. This is, of course, important for listening ability, as being unable to hear sounds will make listening considerably harder, but it is also important for pronunciation, because if you don't hear your own mistakes or can't hear what other people say, then you will also have a hard time saying these things correctly, reliably yourself. To understand how this works for adults learning a second language, such as Chinese, it's worthwhile to look a little bit at how it works when we learn our first language. As infants, we don't really perceive the world in categories, so everything is just a glorious mess, but as we learn more about our first language, we are able to sort sounds around us, things that our parents say or that other people in our surroundings say to us, and sort these sounds into different categories. We realize that some sounds are very important to keep separate, and so we put them in different categories, and some other sounds are not very important at all, and so we don't really need them. For example, in English, it's very important to be able to distinguish a voiced S from an unvoiced S. If we take the two words seal and zeal, they mean different things, and the only difference between those two is the voicing of the S at the beginning. Mandarin is different, however. We still have the unvoiced S, so for example, 3 in Mandarin is san, and it's pronounced with an unvoiced S. And if you were to say zan with a voiced S, this just sounds a little bit weird. People will probably understand what you mean, but it just sounds a bit weird because we don't have this type of sound in Chinese. So in English, these are two different phonemes, meaning that they are used to differentiate different words, such as seal and zeal. But in Chinese, they are not different phonemes. We only have the unvoiced S, and using the voiced S is just a bit weird or incorrect. It doesn't suddenly turn this into a new word, as it does in English. To look at a reverse example, Chinese, of course, has tones, and English does not. So if we have a word pair like mai and mai, They mean buy and sell respectively in Chinese, and the only difference between them is the tone. In English, we do have the word my, as in my cat is cute, and it's pronounced somewhat similarly. But if we change the tone of that word, it doesn't suddenly mean something else, it's just a different way of saying the same word. For more about tones, please check the Hacking Chinese Guide to Mandarin Tones. And in the podcast, this is episode 183, 184, and 185. So as infants, we're able to distinguish all kinds of speech sounds. And this sounds like a superpower because it would be very useful when learning a new language as an adult too. But when you think about it, hearing everything is really saying the same thing as hearing nothing. Because in order to understand our native language, we need to figure out which sounds are important and focus on those. We don't need to hear the specific details of 100 different types of P, for example, but we do need to make sure we understand the difference between a B and a P, because in English, those are two different phonemes, and we need to know that in order to correctly identify what someone is saying. So essentially, learning our first sound system, or first sound systems if you have more than one first language, is about figuring out what is important in this language, and the rest you kind of don't need, so we tend to forget how to distinguish these sounds. So if you grew up with a language that isn't tonal, and this is true for most Indo-European languages, that means that you need to relearn how to distinguish tones when you learn Mandarin as an adult. Naturally, there are also other sounds that you might need to update the categories for or establish new ones. So for example, there is no U sound in English, so that's something you need to learn. And the distinction between B and P in English is not the same as in Mandarin, so you need to learn that as well. There is a large body of research into what makes sounds difficult and what we can do to help adults learn to hear new sounds, and one of the most well-known examples is the difficulty adult Japanese people face when trying to learn English, where they have to distinguish the sounds R and L, which do exist in Japanese, but they are not phonemic. They are not two different phonemes, but rather can occur in different syllables depending on context. This turns out to be incredibly hard, but not impossible. If you're interested, I have included further reading and references in the written article on Hacking Chinese. Before we get to the two methods that I've looked into, I'd like to say that most students learn to distinguish most important sounds in Mandarin simply through a lot of input and by engaging with the language. There might be some sounds that you find difficult even after trying this, however, and this could include tones. But we are different in how easily we pick up new sounds and tones, so some of you will find that some sounds are easy and maybe tones are hard. Other people will find that tones are okay, but there might be some other sounds you struggle with. And other people simply find that everything is difficult, and some people don't struggle much at all. And depending on which category you find yourself in, you might need different solutions. The most important thing, however, is that your brain gets enough input, and preferably it needs varied input, which I will get back to later. So if you engage with the language, if you listen, and if you listen with the aim of understanding what's being said, your brain will gradually figure out what signifies, say, a third tone or a first tone, and what's the difference between those two. Or indeed, what's the difference between U and U, and so on. With enough input linked to meaning, i.e. you should be able to correctly identify what it is you're listening to, and not just guess or listen to something you don't understand at all, most students will figure out how this works simply by doing that. What I'm going to discuss now is what you do when this fails. What if you can't hear tones, or what if you really can't sort out the difference between two sounds? Roughly speaking, there are two different methods that work, and I think that this is a good indication that this really is something hard, because otherwise there would be many methods that worked, and much of the early research would have been successful. But in fact, it was not the case. For a long time, people simply thought that you couldn't learn how to distinguish new sounds, simply because how difficult it was. And the problem was that you can teach someone to learn how to identify tones for one specific speaker. So if I'm your teacher and I talk to you, you will learn to distinguish tones when I use them. But the question is, can you generalize this knowledge to new contexts and a new speaker? And the general answer for quite a long time was, no, you can't. So the first method that I want to talk about addresses this issue. So this is high variability training. The key insight here is that when we say things in a language, there is a lot of information in the sound waves that our brain receives. And that means that there is a lot of information that really isn't important. Maybe it's because how I say the specific word, maybe it's peculiarities related to my specific voice, maybe it's because I'm a male compared to, say, a female saying the same word, or it could be related to my mood or any number of things. And these are clearly not important for identifying tones. I mean, a native speaker is perfectly able to identify tones, regardless if it's an adult, or if it's a child or old person, female, male, happy, sad, and so on. We still are able to identify tones, even though the pitch is quite different depending on who's talking. This is the main reason that high variability training works, because instead of focusing on one voice, we use several different speakers and systematically train the student to understand each voice and each person, and then gradually the student will then be able to generalize this ability to new voices that they haven't been trained on. However, many students who study Chinese, and especially if you're studying it as a foreign language in your home country, they are only exposed to a few speakers, maybe only one, your teacher, and maybe a second one through your textbook, and this is not enough to generalize how tones work, so your brain doesn't have enough input, and it doesn't have enough varied input to figure out what tones really are. So what I did in a research project in grad school was to take this approach that had been proven to work with, well, phonemes in English, for example, R and L, but also for tones in Chinese for people coming from a non-tonal language, and I translated that into a web app that you can actually use on your own. And I did this with Kevin Beloy over at WordSwing, and this course is still open and you can still use it. It will essentially teach you how to distinguish the four basic tones if you struggle with that, and the success rate is quite high. It is rather limited though, because as I said, it's only the four basic tones, and it would be great at some point to expand this to tone pairs, for example, but at least the basic tone version is there if you need it. As usual, I will put links to these things in the description, or you can head over to the written article on Hacking Chinese. So to summarize, high variability training is about using many different speakers and thereby allowing you as a student to figure out which sounds are important for distinguishing, say, the second and the third tone, and which are just down to personal peculiarities or individual characteristics of the specific speakers. Moving on to method two, which is perceptual training through exaggeration. This is a method I think most people are intuitively familiar with, even though you might not recognize the name, because this is very similar to CDS or child-directed speech. So that's the kind of language adults use when speaking with children. Maybe we raise the pitch a little bit and we exaggerate, we make differences bigger so that the infant will more easily be able to pick out the sounds. And this has been proven to have a positive effect on language acquisition, so it's not just something we do to kind of pretend to be cute or something, it actually has a function. As it turns out, this can also be effective when teaching adults to hear new sounds and tones. Naturally, just increasing the pitch and sounding cute doesn't really work with adults, but the exaggeration bit actually does work. So to give you an example with aspiration, which is the puff of air that follows certain stops in Mandarin. So for example, the difference between B and P in Mandarin is aspiration. It's not mainly voicing, but this aspiration, so a puff of air. In pinyin, the letter B doesn't have aspiration, and the letter P has aspiration, and that is the main difference between these sounds in Mandarin. Now, let's say that you as a student find these sounds hard to distinguish. Well, then I as a teacher can make exaggerations and make the difference between these sounds very clear. So instead of just having a little aspiration on, say, P when I'm saying pa, as in afraid, and compare that with ba, as in dad, we just add a lot of aspiration and say pa, and then over time I can gradually reduce the difference between the two and approach some kind of normal way of saying these things. And you can imagine this approach working for something like tones as well. So instead of making small differences between the tones, as would be quite normal in natural speech, I make the differences exaggerated so you can hear them, and over time I reduce the exaggeration, and hopefully you'll be able to maintain your ability to distinguish the tones. This is something that works extra well if you have a friendly native speaker who can help you, or maybe a tutor or teacher, and many people do this intuitively when trying to teach something if the other person finds it difficult to distinguish something. We simply make the difference bigger to help them understand, and this really does help. It's worth noting that exaggeration here doesn't mean that you slow things down too much, and this is particularly true for tones, because if you do that, you might change the way the tone is pronounced. Just to bring up one example, if we have the word megå, which consists of a low tone followed by a rising tone, teachers who don't have enough phonetics and phonology in their education might actually change the way they pronounce this when they slow down. So, for example, they might say me for the first syllable and then gå for the second. Me, gå. But this is not how this word is pronounced. Nobody says me gå. This is wrong. It's just a low tone. And if you're not aware of this as a teacher, you might change your pronunciation, which can confuse students a lot. Still, the principle of exaggeration does work in general, but it's helpful to be aware of what you're supposed to exaggerate as a teacher. So those were two methods to help you learn new sounds and tones when learning Mandarin as an adult. They are not mutually exclusive, and the important thing in both cases is input. You need to listen a lot, you need varied input from different speakers, and if you struggle with a specific distinction, exaggeration might help as well. Thank you for tuning in to the Hacking Chinese podcast. If you like this episode, please share it. More information and inspiration about learning and teaching Chinese can be found at hackingchinese.com. See you in the next episode, and until then, good luck with your studies.